Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ,
we would like to
continue to search for the meaning of life. Because we have been talking about so many things are vanity. And of course, there is some way to break through it, and there is a way out. Otherwise, we are all so depressed. There was a true joke, true happening. There was a deacon, and then he had to conduct Sabbath morning service and Sabbath afternoon. And he really liked the book of Ecclesiastes. So he decided he's going to use two sessions to cover all the main points. So he did in the morning, the topic is emptiness. So he spent a whole hour talking about emptiness stuff. And then, you know, some members just attend the morning. They didn't come for the afternoon. So after hearing this morning sermon, they went home, they feel so depressed. They missed the afternoon sermon. But the afternoon one is the major one. After hearing that, all that are so empty, then what should you do, right? There is something that should not be so empty at all.
I'll just put here.
Okay, so let's turn to the book, chapter 7. Yesterday we were in chapter 7. So we try to go a little bit faster because from chapter 7, many things actually has been discussed before. So I won't repeat those points, but rather we turn to some very meaningful verses. 17, chapter 7, verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 14. Starting from Esther, can you please read? So this is also a golden verse in a book, even though it doesn't directly relate to vanity. But here tell us, in our life, we will always encounter two kinds of things or fortune, right? Sometimes when days are good, when smooth sailing, the winds are blowing your direction, you don't have to use extra effort, but everything seems just working for you. Like a nice family, your study is going right, your health is good, you get a nice job, you met the right person, and everything's to be all right, and everything seems to be going well. So if in those days that you are so lucky or so blessed, then enjoy it and be joyful, right? Be happy. If whatever God has given you, you just be thankful and enjoy the moment, enjoy the smooth sailing. But however, don't expect life to be always smooth sailing. There will be problems. Actually, if you look in the reality of life, the times that we face challenge or problem can be even more than the time of smooth sailing. But even here the Bible said, when you face a difficult situation, trials, you shouldn't just complain, but rather you should just start thinking, what is the meaning behind it? Right? What is the meaning? What is the purpose? Is there a purpose that God put me into this kind of situation? Right? You have to think. If you don't think, you are missing a whole lot. And if you don't think, you feel vanity. You feel life is just so painful. What's the point of living in this world? Especially when you are facing difficulties, sometimes you want to give up. To the extreme sense, maybe some will have a suicidal thought, right? As a young person, sometimes we just think negatively. But however, he has said, even when you are suffering, you can find meaning from it. Even when you are suffering, even something bad happened to good people, you can still try to think, is there a reason behind it? Don't necessarily blame yourself saying that, oh, maybe I've committed sin, right? Maybe you have. You can kind of examine yourself. See, okay, these things happen to me. Is it because of I've done anything wrong or fall short of God's glory? Now you search through yourself. If you have really made a mistake, you confess to God. And God will always forgive you because he loves you more than anybody else in the world. If you make something happen to correct you and bring you back, you just wake up spiritually and come back. But sometimes it's not because of your fault, right? Sometimes, just like the book of Job recorded his story, he didn't do anything specifically evil or sinful. But he has so much trouble in his life, right? And he's still thinking, what is the point? What is the meaning behind it? And at the end, he understands that it was a trial from God, make him better. So you can always think, it doesn't necessary that you've done anything bad or evil, that these bad things happen to you. But rather, God can have a reason. When I first came out to work as a full-time worker, I faced some situation in the church which I didn't really expect it. And I faced some people who is so rare, and sometimes they didn't treat me well. At that moment, I was very sad and I was very discouraged. I said, well, shouldn't it be joyful always when you work for God and people are supposed to be nice to you? Everybody's supposed to go with your way and help you, right? Then why will I meet someone so unreasonable and kind of going against my way and harming the work and put me into an awkward position? So I really didn't know why. I was keep thinking. And I was praying even. I was so sad and discouraged. And while I was praying, after a long period of time, actually quite some while after the events happened, and I look back and I understand why God put me into the situation. Because God wanted to use those kind of people in the church to make me mature, to force me to be humble. Right? If everything goes smooth sailing, I do whatever I want, I'm so successful, I'll be proud. But if I've met a few person who go against your way always, picking on you and not nice to you, and then you start to think about yourself, who you really are. Right? You're just a human being. And those people really help me shape my character. And they are used by God, actually, to make me better. Right? So if you are in the bad situation, don't complain, but rather you should thank God. Because God can always make something out of negative situation to be something positive. Right? So think, what can you learn? First, you can write down a few things you can think, right? Think about what? First, you think about, have I done anything wrong? Sin against God? If a situation happened to you, first you think like this. If nothing wrong, then secondly, you think, is there anything I can learn from this situation? Is there any spiritual lesson? And thirdly, you can think, what can I improve? Even though I didn't make a big mistake deserving causing me this kind of situation. But what could I have done differently? Right? What can I have done in a different way? Or how can I improve myself as a child of God? So always think, and then you'll get meaning of life by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And verse 16 to 17. Next. Yes, chapter 7, verse 7, 16 to 17. Now, these two words, some people kind of don't understand, right? Why become overly righteous? Isn't righteous is good, right? Then the more the better, right? If I'm righteous is good, then I'll be extremely righteous and super righteous. Then isn't it better? Actually, it's not. The Bible said anything you do, you have to have the right balance and do it moderately. So righteous is good, but don't be over-righteous. What does it mean, over-righteous? First, over-righteous means self-righteousness. Right? Sometimes we can be so self-righteous. Well, you read the Bible, you pray, and then you do spiritual cultivation, but actually in your own eyes, you are the one the best. When you look at other people, they are not good. You feel that you are the best, you are the holiest, you are the most fervent. This over-righteous, right? If anything is over, is not good, even though the character itself is good. But it's over. Over, this means you go to extreme. So over-righteous means self-righteous. Secondly, over-righteous means you involve something that actually you shouldn't be involving. to try to settle. It's not your business at all, but you just try to prove that you know something and you are righteous. Now, the Bible given an example. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 7. 箴言26章, Proverbs 26, verse 7. Next. Or maybe Sam, can you help us to read? Proverbs 26, verse 7. Proverbs 26, verse 7. 17, actually. 17. Can you read it? Verse 17?
Verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog.
Okay, this is a perfect example of over-righteousness. Right? You pass by your neighbor's house or somewhere, you saw what? People are fighting each other. It's not none of your business. But you say, you know, I'm a TJC member, you know. I know the Bible, I know the teaching, so let me settle your fighting. Don't fight, you know. You try to stop them and try to be involving, be the judge. If you do this, you're not wise. You're just like holding a mad dog's ears. What happened if you hold a mad dog's ears? It bites you, right? He didn't care who you are. You just come into his way, he just bites you, right? So don't think, oh, you have to involve, you have to step into every situation. If it's not even your business, stay away from it, right? It's not your position to do anything, you don't do anything, right? Don't be over-righteous saying that, oh, I know stuff, I know the truth, I want to do something. It's not your business. Care your own business. Unless it's your duty, unless it is involved for you. Otherwise, don't be over-righteous. Otherwise, you'll put yourself into trouble. And also, do not be overly wicked. Of course, wicked is not good. Nobody should be wicked, right? But God did give some people some chance. Even though they are wicked, God still wants to give them chance, that God set a date that they will have to die and face judgment. But if a person overly wicked, that they keep doing and doing worse and worse, then God can decide that even though I set a day for you to die, but I want you to die earlier because you're just too bad. God just cannot endure. God can just cannot stand you. There are examples in the Bible, right? King Herod boasting for himself, and suddenly God make a big fat worm to bite him, and he just died. Yeah. So many examples just like that. They're overly wicked, so they die before the appointed time. So this is just a word of wisdom. In the book of Ecclesiastes, besides the main theme of vanity and how to translate it, there are lots of wise saying, just like the book of Proverbs, right? And you can choose your own favorite one, always. Let's turn to the same chapter, verse 26 to 29. 26 to 29. Please read, yes. Yes, 26 to 29. 26, chapter 7, verse 26. Proverbs. Oh, sorry, Ecclesiastes.
Okay, 26. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare. His heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner she will ensnare. 27. Look, says the teacher, this is what I have discovered. Adding one thing to another.
Now, here is another word of wisdom concerning all the experience that Solomon had. He said that there are one kind of woman is even more bitter than what? Than death. Why did he say this? You know, Solomon, actually, he was very lucky because he was so rich and he has so much power. And among all the enjoyment, besides a building, you know, or architecture or wealth, one of the enjoyment of the flesh is marriage or flesh, carnal enjoyment, about the lust. Now, usually, normal human being, when God created us, one husband is good for one wife. That is how things that should be. But Solomon, because he's so rich, how many wives or concubines or princess added all together that he had? 1,000. Sometimes during the discussion of the Bible study, some brothers say, wow, I really admire Solomon, right? 1,000 wives waiting for him in the palaces. No, every night he can choose different person. Wow. So it seems to be he was a lucky man, right? But actually, after all that happening, his conclusion is, even though you have so many women, you can buy so many beautiful women, or they're waiting for you to serve you, but actually, those are the things that caused him to downfall. And he said, there's one kind of woman even more bitter than death. You know, death is very bitter. Nobody likes to die. But some woman actually will directly or indirectly cause you to die. Now, brothers, you have to specifically underline this verse and memorize it. This is for you, right? For all of us. If you are human, if you are a man, this is for you. Remember, there are two kinds of women in this world. One kind is to cause you death, physical death and spiritual death. And the other kind will help you to walk the heavenly journey and bring you life. The second kind is on your right side. Look on the right side. Look. Don't be shy. Look on the right side. Come on. Turn to your right. And come on. Turn to your right side and take a look. Take a good look. Okay? Don't look at me. I'm not a woman. Turn to your right side. These sisters, not only them, of course, but maybe in your local church. Don't be shy, sister, okay? Don't get red-faced then. This kind of sister, they are TJC member, they share the same faith as you, they are decent, they are holy, they are noble, they are disciplined, they are good. So if you are so lucky to marry one of them in the future, or somebody in your local church, you're pretty safe. More than 90%, I can say, you can go to heaven. Of course, there's no statistic, right? But from the experience that I know, if you marry a TJC member, a good sister, you are very lucky. You almost make it to heaven, more than 80 or 90% chance. But if you are so foolish, you're saying that, you know, TJC sisters are boring. They don't know how to do makeup. They only know how to study. You know, they are very reserved. They don't like to talk to people. And, you know, outside, the women I met in college, they are exciting. You know, they are very open. They are very approachable. They are different. They are very easy to be approached by you. You have confidence, and then you think yourself you're on a better deal. But actually, you should think twice, because Solomon has tried it. And the deal wasn't that good. The deal cost him his spiritual life. And among the women he had, right? Among 1,000 of them, some of them are really bitter. Really bitter. Bitter than death. If you look at the surface, those women are very beautiful. They know how to do makeup, cosmetic surgery probably too, right? Or fashions or anything. But their heart is not truthful. It's not pure, it's not loving. So Solomon said, you know, I think Solomon has taken a lot of bitter pill before. Among all these women, he must be put into trouble. You know, sometimes one woman is not good, give you so much trouble. If your wife, just one wife, is not godly or loving, give you so much trouble. Can you imagine 1,000 women, they're all foreign princes. How much trouble Solomon had his whole life? That's why he said, vanity is vanity. There's no use because he's not happy. And he said it, verse 27, among 1,000 men, I can find one righteous. But what did he say? But for all the women, there's not one. So this is pretty unfair for a female, right? You may think that why Solomon said like this. I think it's not generally speaking. It doesn't mean men are good or better, no. But he's just summarizing his own experience, saying that, you know, I have 1,000 concubines in my palaces. But what good have they brought to me? Nothing. No, they don't truly love me. Do you think they love Solomon? I think they love his money more than him, right? Because Solomon is the richest person in the world. When you are rich, people love, people come to, women come to you. So Solomon really, really, really sad and lonely. He said, actually, there's no true love if you departed from God. Write it down, brothers. It's for you. If you departed from God, if your choice is away from his people, it's very difficult to find true satisfaction, true love spiritually. You may have the person, but you can not truly united with her in soul and spirit. United with her in flesh is no problem. If you're normal, you can do it, right? Unless you're not normal, you're watching too much porn, and then you're not normal. But if you're a normal human being, united with your future wife is normal, it's not difficult. But uniting with your future wife in soul and spirit, your own future goal, your value, your spiritual perspective, serving God together. If you cannot do that, then you're missing the biggest part. So Solomon gave all the brothers a piece of advice. Whether you want to take it is all up to you. I cannot guarantee for you, right? If you are wise, you should take it advice. Verse 29 said, God created us actually was straightforward. But actually, we thought a lot of crooked ways to go around things. So that was chapter 7. Any question? Anybody still admire or really admire Solomon? 1,000 wives? I think after that, you should think twice, right? Obey God. Just one husband, one wife. Is a godly woman is enough. Okay, so chapter 8, verse 8. Next, please. Next, brother.
There is no one that has power over spirit to retain the spirit. The other has imparted to him that there is no discharge in that war. There shall be this to the people's argument to it.
Okay, there's also one very famous verse in the Bible saying that no one has power over life to hold life. Why? Who has this power? Only God. Only God can hold life and no one can take it away. Even devil cannot take your heart. The devil cannot take your life away. Only God can take your life away. Even evil cannot save those who does evil. So our life is in God's hand. So you don't have to be afraid. You will not die unless God said you are finished. Okay, you will not die. Unless God said you are finished. Even you're sitting in the room watching a television, you can just still eat something and choke and die. If God wants you to die, all right? If God doesn't want you to die, even you go to the most dangerous place on earth, you will not die. Because you still have something to do. So our life is in God's hand. So we have to remember that. And then let's continue to read verse 8. Now, as we mentioned, as we approach the end of the book, you can see more and more he talks about the solution of how to transcend vanity. Verse 12, next please, verse 12. Continue, 13. Okay, you can see now, he tried to bring up the conclusion slowly and slowly. The ultimate theme and conclusion of the book, How to Transcend Unity, what is it? In two words in English, what is it? Fear God. That's the only way that you can make your life not empty. If you fear God, if you center God as your focus. Now, you may see oppression in the world, and you may see some wicked people, they are so rich. To be honest, if you look at the ranking of the richest people in the whole world, how many of them are TJC member? The magazine, Forbes list, the richest 100 people in America, or richest 100 people in the whole world, how many of them are TJC member? None, right? How many of them are even Christian? Very few. But how many of them are ungodly business people? They just chase over profit more than anything else. Almost everyone. If you're not like that, you cannot be that rich. to be honest. If you have a good conscience, if you have so much love and compassion in the business world, you cannot be very outstanding because you have so many other factors. But in a cutthroat world, dog-eat-dog business world, if you are tough, you can be outstanding, right? And sometimes even people do illegal things to make themselves richer, right? The underworld, the mafia, or the people running business with a bad conscience. You know, China nowadays, if you look at those news, right, China, nothing is, or even Taiwan nowadays, all the food safety problem. At the beginning, people laugh at China. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is from China. I'm not going to eat it. At the beginning, the Taiwanese brother and sister say, oh, this is from China. This soy sauce is from China. I'm not going to eat it, right? They say China food product. There's so many bad company. But actually, it turns out that Taiwan is the same. Or even worse, all the oil, recycled oil, and from the sewage and all that. So, you know, nowadays business people have no conscience. Many of them have no conscience. Why? Because of profit. But Bible said, even though they look so rich, but he knows that God will judge them. Just fear God. The wicked, you know, verse 13, the wicked will not be blessed. Even though they had all they want in this world, but spiritually they will not be blessed. They have no peace, they have no joy. And eternally they have no portion. But just hold on to your integrity. Don't think it's meaningless. If you hold on to God, hold on to your principles, hold on to your value, then even you live a very simple life, your life will not be empty. Why you will not be empty? Write it down. Because God will remember you. Because God will remember you. The most important concept we have to remember is, if you remember God and fear God, God will remember you. Now, if God remember you, your life will not be empty. If people want to remember you, you will be forgotten. Sometimes whoever donates some money, or donated money to the university or to the cities, right? They give them names on the street, on the benches. But to be honest, after a few decades, who knows who they are, right? Sometimes you look at the street name, right? Or that street's name, who they are. You don't even care. You forgot. People name famous people, the street names or city's name or airport name, just want that they don't want to be forgotten. But at the end, they are all forgotten, right? Mostly. Unless you study history, you're forced to remember them. Right? But normally speaking, they're all forgotten. But if you fear God, God will remember you. Your name, right? Your name tags, you know, every one of you, where is your name tag? It's only the fifth day. Many of brothers not even wearing your name tag. Okay, you have it. Okay, name tags. Can you cherish the fact that this name written here is now in heaven? Look at your name, right? Look at your name. Can you cherish? Your name list is not only in the NYTS list, okay? Not only in the TJC directory. Your name is written in heaven right now with the Lord Jesus. You have an account in the eternal kingdom of God. Your name is there. You got a piece of property there, even though you have not activated using it. But you do have a share. Because God promised He'll remember you. Unless you choose to forget about Him, unless you choose to walk away, then it's different. But if you remember Him, you will remember your Creator, He'll remember you. And that's the deal. So you have to think about, do you want your life to be meaningful? You have to remember God and fear Him. Fear Him. Verse 15 again. Verse 15. Next. Anthony, please. Now, once again, he focused on how to make life not empty. Whatever you work hard, enjoy it. Right? Enjoy your labor. Yesterday we kind of talked about it. Enjoy your labor, that make your life less empty. If you don't know how to enjoy what you labor for, you're just like a machine working. There's no meaning. So hope that we bear in mind. So that's pretty much chapter 8. Now, chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 7 to 10 is a summary of how to make this life more meaningful and less empty. Chapter 9, verse 7 to 10. Next, please. Chapter 9, verse 7 to 10. Verse 10, huh? Now, from verse 7 to verse 10 talks about at least four kinds of life that we should have in this world. So that to fill our life, have a balanced lifestyle so that we are not empty. So let's see, what are they? The first one is verse 7. You should go just happily, eat your bread and drink your wine, because God is pleased with you. So this kind of living, we can say, is the living of enjoying your labor and recreational living. You can enjoy what you have, eat and drink nicely. Enjoy life, recreation. So that is the things that first one will make our life less empty. I think we have talked about that. In the future, after you earn money, annually set yourself vacation with your family is good, right? Every year, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to go super far, right? You just find a time, take a week off or two with your family, go somewhere away from your home. How many of your family has a family as a whole vacation every year? Raise your hand. The vacation doesn't mean you go to a shopping mall together and come back the same day, okay? Vacation means you go at least another city or do some camping. Doesn't have to spend a lot of money, but go somewhere, not your home, not camping in your bed. Yeah, okay, also doesn't count. How many of you have family vacation every year regularly? So few. Wow, all the Asian people working so hard. This is the habit of us, right? So in the future, your generation start, okay, once a year, bring your family somewhere. Make a budget out of it, right? Take your holiday, no matter how busy you are. According to your budget, plan your vacation. If you have money, go to Paris, sure, why not? If you don't have money, go to the small town, one hour drive from your home. Stay in a motel there, but just be away. It's okay, it doesn't matter where you go. It's just a family together. Maybe a road trip, the whole family lock in the car, and then you have to force to talk to each other. Right? It's not bad. And when you vacation, take away all the gadgets. Take away all your kids' gadgets. And throw away your cell phone or iPad too, right? Sometimes family go for vacation, they just still engage in their gadgets. So in the future, make sure you are different. You know how to enjoy life because you work for that, right? Don't be over hardworking, but don't know how to enjoy what God has given you. Second life that you can transcend emptiness is verse 8. Your clothes shall be always white, and your head shall not be lacking the anointing oil. That is the second kind of life. Write it down. If you want your life is not empty, the second kind of life you shall have is the spiritual life. The spiritual life. What does it mean you have to keep your garment white? Your garment represents your behavior, your deeds. If you want to keep your garment white, that means you live a shameless and blameless life before God. You know, we are all wearing a spiritual garment in front of God's eyes. But how white are they? How many spots do they have? You never know unless God opens your eyes. So check yourself. Make sure we always wear a white garment. Try to live a blameless life. Remove all the spots according to His standard. And then do not make your head lacking oil. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. So if you are always pursuing fullness of the Spirit, your life will never be empty. Right? Even though you have the best job, you live a busy life, you have a lot of money, but if you are not filled with the Spirit, you will still be empty. So make sure your head didn't lack the anointment of the Holy Spirit. Just like coming to NYTS, you know, even though physically we suffer here, right? Not suffering. We say we fast one meal, right? At least one meal, but actually we eat four meals afterwards. So overall, you still put on weight. Unless you choose to fast more, right? But if you skip breakfast but eat another four meals, we cannot say we are suffering. But compared to your home, it's a little bit inconvenient. But if you really, if your heart is here, you'll be so satisfying. You want to come back because you have feel so close to God here. I really enjoy listening to you guys singing hymn, right? If I were not about to teach, I have to prepare the class, I would have joined you guys. I enjoy your voice so much. 100 of the youth together, after praying for so much long hours, your voice becomes so pure. And your faces, your eyes are different than the first day you are here. You're getting purer and purer. I can see it. The angelic voice. Even I'm walking down the hall, in the washroom, the voice is just there, right? I just so enjoy the voice, holiness, praising God. And when you pray, 100 plus people pray in the Holy Spirit, that kind of power, really amazing. You cannot find it anywhere in the world. That is the best place to be on in earth right now, right? Spiritual gathering. Before coming here, I spent a trip with my family. We went to LA. I brought the children to a theme park. You know, you have to bring them because otherwise they say, oh, you never bring me to a theme park. Waiting for one ride, Minion, the newest ride in the Universal. Almost 1 hour while standing there, so many people. Of course, they enjoy it, but I myself don't really enjoy it. Right, spiritually, those are so noisy. But here, I really enjoy the peace. So really, make sure your oil always on your head. Holy Spirit always fills you. But of course, I enjoy the time with my kids, right? It's not where you go, but the time you spend together. Thirdly, what is your life? Verse 9. In the days of your vanities, the days that God given you under the sun, live happily with the wife that you love. So the third kind of life is marriage life. If you want your life less empty or be fulfilling, then marrying the right person, setting up a Christian, God-focused relationship will be the way to make your life fulfilling. And that part, I think most of you still haven't experienced it, because all of you, all the students, I think all of the students here are single. Maybe one or two, they're already married, but most of you are still single. But make it your goal if you want your life less empty in the future, okay? From now, you should start praying to God about your marriage. This morning, I was teaching another class next door. So I share with them marriage and relationship. They're so happy. They're looking forward to this topic, right? I say, well, actually, we should share this earlier. You should share in the year one. We shouldn't wait for our PMVP. Right, there's only 12 people in the PMVP. If you cannot find a spouse in Christ, then all you learned before, you can just lost. Right, you get tempted, or you marry somebody who cannot share your life truly. So if you want a fulfilling life, spend the time with your wife or your husband you love and live happily every day. How many of you observe your parents, they're really in love, they are just like, so sticky, right? This is the term I learned from. This one, I asked the youth how to describe your parents' relationship. They said, oh, so sticky. I said, what's sticky? Sticky means they're always sticky, sticking to you. How many of your parents is really sticky, you know? Really? Okay, Sarah, one. And also, how many? It's okay, be honest, they are not here. How many of your parents really good, strong relationship? They just can't live without each other. Okay, just one or two? Okay, come on, it's okay. Three, four, okay. How about brothers? They are very good relationship. How many of your parents, we can describe kind of okay, not too good, not too bad. Wow, more than half, right? Okay, how many of you every day in the house, there's a Star Wars movie going on? Yeah, there are these three different kind of family, right? It's different, right? If you live happily with your spouse in the future, you know it's just like heaven on earth. It's not exactly heaven yet, right? But at least it'll be heaven on earth. Because you love each other, you share the same value, same goal, you have company, you will not be alone, you raise kids together, you go to church together, you serve God together, you go vacation together, and you're fixing the house together. You know, my wife helped me a lot. She even helped me fix the roof. Wow, she's good. She not only play piano, not only singing, but she's so smart. And she's so loving and caring and encouraging. And she's even a handyman. My roof broke a little bit. And I said, should I go out? She said, no, I can go to do it. I said, okay, if you're good, I'll let you. I'll be your full support, all right? I'll be the one who is cheering and giving you all the hammers and stuff. All right. And so if you have a good wife, brothers, look at me. Am I happy? All right. And if you look at your music instructor, Brother Liu Yang, do you think he is happy? Yeah. And if you look at Sister Grace back there, Sister Joyce, is she happy? From her face, do you think she's happy? Yes. Actually, whether people are happily married, you know from their face, right? If the face is so happy, joyful as always, most likely they have a good marriage. And we have a good marriage, your life is more fulfilling. And when your marriage is related to God, God-centered relationship, since this is not a marriage class, right? I cannot go too deep. Hopefully, future we have the chance. But if your marriage or relationship is focused on God, you'll always have a fulfilling life. You will not feel empty and lonely anymore. So from now on, from today, you start praying for a marriage. How many of you are already praying for a marriage already? Just one? You should laugh for yourself, right? Not laugh at him. Yeah, you should. Oh, how many sisters are already praying for your marriage? Just one? Just a few? If you're not doing it, actually, it's not too late, but a little bit late, right? You wasted a few years already. It's just start praying for your marriage. When I say start praying for a marriage, it's not that, oh, you pray to God, show me which one, the spotlight come and show me which one. I'm not saying that. But you should pray that God give you the faith, give you the patience, and give you the chance and help you yourself be ready. Now you're still not very ready. You're still year one or year two. You're still in school. You don't need to immediately looking for a relationship, right? But at least prepare your heart and keep your heart from the outside influence. That is very important. When you pray for marriage, we're not praying that anybody appear in front of you before now. But pray that God will keep your heart. Don't let outside people steal your heart. If your heart is stolen by outside people, non-believers, not our church, then it is more difficult, much more difficult. So from now, hope that from tonight prayer, pray for marriage, okay? Pray that God prepare for you in the future. God prepare your heart, prepare yourself. Because that's one of the ways to make your life fulfilling under the sun. This is very important. The fourth kind of life that can transcend emptiness is verse 10, right? Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. because the place that you go have no work, no knowledge, and no wisdom. So the fourth kind of life is called the career life. The career, the work that you are going to do the rest of your physical life, which you use to earn your money, to earn your bread. So this is the life, a career life. So also pray for your future career, that God will use your career so that you can have a good career, and then you can enjoy what you do and do what you enjoy. At the same time, you can make a living. That is wonderful. Work hard until you retire. You still have at least 40 years to do, so you better like what you do. You better adjust your mindset. You like what you do in your life every day. You can try your best to do everything that you have to do. So if you have this four kind of life, then you'll be very satisfying. But in terms of work, not only this physical work, not only your physical career, this kind of work can also refer to a spiritual work, holy work. You can only do work for God while you are living. After you die, even though you want to work for God, you want to save up credit for heaven, it's too late. There's no holy work in heaven. You know, in the eternity, you cannot ask the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus, in heaven we are so bored, can I do something? Or can I do some holy work for you? I haven't done enough when I was living. You know, I was so busy with my school, my career. You know, I didn't serve you much. But now, can I do something for you? God will say, come on, there's no time here. There's no physical well here. There's no need you do anything now. Whatever you have to do, I give you a chance already. You didn't do it then, you have no chance now. So whatever you find to do, even if it's a church work, you have to try your best. Because church work is the only things that carry meaning. The work you work in a society is only mainly for money. And of course, sometimes you enjoy what you do, but the meaning is very short-lived. But when you work for God, it's different. I know of a deacon who is a very faithful worker in God, in God's church. He used to tell me how empty his life was. Right? When he was young, actually he was a second generation TJC member. When he was young, he's already earning quite a bit of money. Before he was 30 years old, he was driving a BMW, brand new one. When he was 30 something, already wear a Rolex. No Rolex, right? It's a traditional luxury brand of watch. So he has BMW, he has Rolex, but he felt empty. Every day he's go work, and then go home driving his nice car, wearing the Rolex, but after a while, he lose all the interest. But after he really started to commit himself in serving God, he started to feel the fulfillment. Serving God make him joyful. He was so faithful. He was not good at preaching, but he just church work. He came to church early, opened the doors. He's the last one to leave and close the door. He didn't miss one service. And sometimes the church is so much garbage, nobody cleared up. He's the one always pushing the garbage out for collection. And then when his work is not so busy at the office, he's always bring out a Bible to read and prepare a sermon, because he finished his job in the office. So every day he's waiting for Saturday to come, because on Saturday he can work for God. And he was so happy, always telling me, the best day of my life in the whole week is Saturday, Sabbath, because that's where he can find meaning. So brother and sister, no matter what you do in the future, try your very best. But remember, your real career is not in the world. Write it down. Your real career is the spiritual one. Your real value of this life, because you are the children of God. So this four life, if you have a balance out in your whole life, these four lives, one again, what is the first one? Physical enjoyment plus recreational, right? Secondly, spiritual life. Thirdly, marriage life. Fourthly, career life or work. So if you have all this together and all of this, you can draw a circle, writing all these 4 points outside, but in the center, put one center. Center is God. Career, recreational, marriage, or work. But inside this circle, the focus must be God. If your focus is not God, no matter how many holidays you take, it's no use. You take a holiday because you want to recharge and get more strength so that when you come back, you can work better. Right? This is God-centered holiday. It's called God-centered holiday, right? Your career can be God-centered. Right? You work in a society, you manifest God's glory in your workplace, people know you, also know you as a Christian. You shine the light. This is the focus. Your marriage, focus on God. Why do you want to get married in the future? Right? Not because you just want to get married. Find your princess or find your prince charming, right? No, you want to get married because you want to glorify God in your marriage. So put God in the center. So when you put everything centered in God, your life becomes so meaningful. Even if you just be a cleaner, swiping the street, driving the street outside, you work a humble job, but in your heart you want to glorify God in your life. Even though you work this kind of job, you have meaning in life. But if you are the president of the country, but your heart, you don't fear God, you just want to have political gains and people work for you, what is popular, just like what our president now is doing, right? Propose gay marriage. Now push it so that people love it. People support it. Yes, people love it. People support it. But this is not what God wants. Right? If you are just a street cleaner, but you fear God, it's better than a political leader who didn't fear God in God's eyes. So your life could be very meaningful if you focus everything in God. So this is a four kind of life. And verse 11 and 12, let's read verse 11 and 12. Next.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. Well, for man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them.
Now, verse 11 and 12. Especially verse 11, underline this very important verse in the Bible. Talk about opportunity or chances. The word opportunity in Chinese is called 机会. So make up of two words. 机 or opportune, or actually means time. Hui actually means place. So what is success? How can you be successful? The right time, in the right place, equal to success. You can be working so hard in your whole life, but if you were not given an opportunity, you will not be successful. Whatever you do, even your career, even your studies, even your marriage. If you are in the right place but the wrong time, no use. You come too early. The show has not even started. If you go to the right place, wrong time, no good. Right time, wrong place. Of course, you totally miss the show. It's be the right time, right place. Just like we go to the parking lot, right? Especially in a Boxing Day or Black Friday, you want to go to a shopping mall. Wow. People. You want to get a space, so difficult, right? Sometimes you just go around and around for 30 minutes already. There's no parking space. And then you want to go there and then somebody go before you. You saw someone, he just came in and the car came out and just took the space already. Seen things like that? Why? Opportunity. It's not only that you have to work hard. Of course you have to work hard, But success doesn't count on only your working so hard. It's count on whether God gives you opportunity. Right time, in the right place, you met the right person, you were given the right chance, and then you succeed. So what does it tell us here? If you run fast, doesn't mean you win. You can stumble at the last 1 second, then you lose, right? You can be so strong in the battle, but you can lose it. You can be so wise, but you didn't have food. Because you miscalculate one step, you lose everything. You've been so wise, but you're not having all the money, and through, you may not be pleased. It's all upon a chance. So after all, who is controlling the chance or opportunity? People doesn't believe in God, they call it what? Luck. Oh, good luck, right? You have good luck. But for us who believe in God, what is it called? God's will. God's presence. God will provide. So, want a success doesn't mean that you study all the time, you skip NYTS next year, you try to get a better SAT result, or you want to take a summer course so that you can graduate earlier, you can think by graduate earlier, enter the workforce earlier, you can occupy one space in a good company, so you want to skip NYTS. You can do that. This is your choice. But doesn't mean you will be successful. If God didn't give it to you, you just waste your time in the parking lot. You go to the wrong place, wrong show. There are many testimonies. God really blessed the one who put him first. Go into NYTS, serve God, put him first, and then God just prepared the opportunity for him. He didn't even expect it. I myself experienced that. You know, in your age, I came to Canada really late. 18 years old, I came to Canada. That's why my English is so much Hong Kong accent, right? So when I said that, I still go to ESL class. Can you imagine? ESL? You're ABC, right? CBC, you never go to ESL class, right? I came to Canada, 18 years old, big boy already, and I sit in the ESL class. Very terrible English. Hong Kong accent. And I have to struggle so much to enter university. But really, thank God, you know what happened? God really guided me. Within 1 year, I passed all the TOEFL tests and all the XBS. Really tough on me, you know, all these languages. But I entered university year one. Now, all the students that I knew of, all the classmates, they say summer, they want to take summer school. But after the first NYTS, I decided I don't want to take summer school to graduate earlier. I can take spring, but I'm not taking summer. Because summer is always for my NYTS. Because I was by God's grace and love, I want to go every year. So I decided NYTS is for me. Other of my friends, they graduate earlier because of summer. And guess what happened? I graduated kind of like 9 months after all my friends because I didn't take summer courses. But guess what happened? Some of my friends, they and they after they graduated, they took it took them more than a half a year or 9 months to find a job. But I graduate later just because I attend NYTS, God prepared something for me. After I graduate, I'm working. So I just feel that, wow, it's wonderful. God always prepare. Right things, right time, right place. And God will prepare for you. In your marriage, also the same. Again, right? Marriage also about opportunity. The right time, you meet the right person, that's it. Not much trouble. If God arranged for you. So that's why, brother and sister, pray that God can give you opportunity. And pray that you can get ready for yourself when opportunity comes. Write it down. It's very important. Get yourself ready before opportunity comes. Opportunity will not wait for you. God will bless you with opportunity. But opportunity just come and go so fast. For example, you're looking for a job. You're not ready. If you're not make yourself ready, presentable for interview, you don't know what you're talking about. Your attitude is just like so uncertain, so relaxed, and you never do research. You never really pray about it. You go for interview, of course, nobody like you. Right? You get yourself ready anytime. Or marriage is the same, sister. If you are given a chance, matchmaker come to you, a good brother. The matchmaker come. You say, well, I don't know. I'm still young. Should I settle now? Or you think, no, maybe something better will come out, right? So let's say no to it. You keep passing opportunity. At the end, no show. Right? There's no result. So opportunity, time and space, God can give it to you, but are you ready? Are you ready for the opportunity? Career, marriage, but most importantly, serving God. Serving God could be an opportunity. Before the opportunity come, you have to get yourself ready. Okay? So we stop at chapter 9, and tomorrow we'll do 10 and 11. Time's up. Let's all pray in silence.